One of the most popular flowers in summer gardens is an easy-to-grow standby called phlox. During my early gardening years, I thought it was spelled like the sheep grouping, F-L-O-C-K-S. But when I began to read up on plants and study garden catalogs, I found that, like so much horticultural nomenclature, phlox, spelled P-H-L-O-X, is from the old Latin and Greek, and it means flame, supposedly because of the hot colors that phlox exhibit. Now, I have to tell you that I don't see the connection there, because although there are over 60 species of phlox, and some are listed as bright red, most of my phlox are cool blues, or at best, pale pinks. Of course, most of my phlox are of the family heirloom variety, meaning that they came to my garden by way of a shovel and a rusty coffee can at the end of a trip to visit relatives. Maybe over the years they've faded from bright colors to softer hues. But no matter, for they're still a sight to behold as a tall, waving bank of blue, lavender, pink, or white that backs up and contrasts shorter, brighter flowers. And no matter the color, butterflies and moths seem to love them dearly. Most phlox are North American natives, and all but one variety, the Drummond annual, is perennial. So planting them in your garden is like putting money in the savings bank, because they'll pay you back with visual and fragrant interest every summer. Phlox can range in height from 5 feet to 5 inches. Some species prefer shaded woodlands, while others were just made for the full sun of the prairie. In our High Plains area, standard tall phlox are summer bloomers and do well in sun to partial shade. They need a drink on hot, windy days to keep them standing tall and proud. And, as with all summer flowers, they'll perform best for you if you give them an occasional feeding of an all-purpose plant food. Phlox flowers all have 5 petals and grow in clusters. After they bloom, deadhead the spent flower clusters to keep your garden from looking gangly and to increase your bloom time. With a little bit of care, phlox in our area should give your garden color from midsummer well into the fall. If there is a downside to growing phlox, it's the problem of mildew, although I've not had to deal with it. I think we live in an ideal phlox location because gardens further south, where humidity is higher, seem to have more occurrences of white, powdery mildew forming on the foliage of the plants. Give your phlox plenty of sun, water at ground level to keep moisture off the foliage, give your plants some room for air movement, and clear out the foliage in the fall to keep your phlox mildew-free. You can also find varieties that have been bred to resist mildew, or plant early blooming varieties, since mildew can hit hardest at the end of summer. Earlier in our visit, I mentioned the shorter types of phlox, and these are fast becoming a mainstay in borders and as curbside color strips in many neighborhoods. Commonly called creeping phlox, these low-growing spreaders do just that. They bloom brightly and profusely in early spring, just when we need their color the most. Then their dark green spiky foliage forms a ground cover for the rest of the growing season. To keep them full and bushy, prune back the foliage a bit after the spring blooming period. If you get hooked on phlox, know that they adapt well to dividing. In fact, your creeping phlox will demand it every so often because they'll begin to die back in the centers as they spread to larger areas. And tall summer phlox can be spaded up and given new space in the fall. If you have more phlox than you can handle, just offer some clumps to gardening friends. I'm sure they'll come flocking to your door.